We're continuing our series on faith from the book of Hebrews. If you want to open up the Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. So faith always involves some kind of crisis of faith. There are times of doubt and the seeming absence of faith. Amen? How could it not be? We are sinful people, even as Holy Spirit indwelt sons and daughters of God. And faith is not the absence of doubt. It's trusting in God's character, trusting in his promises, even if it's just I don't just believe it, I don't really feel it, but you say it's true, therefore I believe it. Sometimes faith is reduced to just that, a clinging to God and his word. That's why I find our passage today from Hebrews 11 to be so encouraging. It presents what many call God's hall of fame or hall of faith, and it gives us examples of great faith. This is what God considers great faith. You want to know what God considers great faith, people of great faith, you go to Hebrews 11, and God commends them for their faith, and when we examine the lives of these men and women, what do we discover is that their lives are just every bit as a mess as yours and mine. I find that really encouraging. Our Bible passage today is very long, but it's a sermon within itself, and I could stop just reading it, but of course I won't. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that our well-being, our fruitfulness, our value, our eternal life, our transformation, our eternal destiny is not dependent on our faith, but on your faithfulness. So Lord, let the Spirit of God please fall upon us now as we engage your word, which for us is faith. Let us be inspired. Let us be encouraged by the examples of great faith of men and women who are sinners just like us. So for your glory and for your kingdom in us and through us, we pray. Amen. So I encourage you to read along. I use the ESV, but they're all good. It says this, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God of coming of concerning events of yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that is by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of the heavens and the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them, and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac your offspring shall be named." He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, where he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time will fail to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins and sheeps of goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. This is the glorious word of God. What a tale. Match that with so much of the faith teaching of our day. Name it, claim it, believe it, receive it. If you just had enough faith, your baby wouldn't have died. If you just had enough faith, you wouldn't be struggling with disease. Is that what that passage just said? And that's the power and the beauty of the Bible, is it doesn't try to gloss over human frailty and fallenness. No, it presents humanity in all its ugliness and all its glory and all its depravity and all its dignity. And the point of the Bible is not to boast about the great faith of men and women. It's to glorify the faithfulness of our faithful God. In God's great hall of great faith, we're not giving a list of superheroes who are impossible to emulate. We're giving a list of people just like us, people whose lives are full of fear and doubt and worry and shame and failure. Yes. I can relate to that kind of people. Let's explore some of these characters of God's hall of faith. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. So God gave Noah, and faith is always a gift from God. We can't stir it up ourselves. We pray for the faith to respond to God's promises, and he empowers us to do so. And so God gave Noah the promise to build an ark, and he would save humanity through his family. And so he built this enormous boat when there was no water in sight, and most likely it had never even rained on the earth, because it's said that the earth was watered by condensation up until the flood. And he faced all types of mockery and look at that idiot building a boat. What's a boat anyway, right? I mean, they don't even know. And then, after being used by God to save humanity from extinction, what's Noah do? He gets out of the boat, plants some grapes, gets stone drunk, lays naked in his room, in his little tent, and then gets publicly humiliated by his son. So much for humanity starting off in righteousness. And God holds him up as an example of great faith. 8 and 17, faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place and even know he was supposed to go. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, right? Abraham, man of great faith. You, there would be no salvation outside of Abraham. The way God has set things up, you have to be a child of Abraham to be saved. We're children of Abraham through the promises. This is an important guy. He gave birth to the lineage through whom Christ would come. And yet, didn't Abraham have any character flaws? The guy lied twice to save his own skin, even though it might have cost his wife his life. And this is the same man who decided, I think God needs a little help with this whole I shall make you a father of many nations thing. So he has a baby through his servant Hagar. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah received power to conceive even though she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. That is, if the first responded to God's promise by laughing as if God just told his good Jewish joke. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Yeah, you know Jacob, man of integrity and honesty, right? No. This is the guy who, first of all, he has 12 sons. Read the story in Genesis of his 12 sons. This is a dysfunctional family on steroids. Infighting, violence, manipulation. I mean, and this is the 12 tribes of Israel. And what's Jacob? He was this wimpy little mama's boy who swindled his older brother out of his birthright with a bowl of stew. And then his father's dying, and he manipulates his father into thinking that he's Esau to get the blessing. This is Jacob. This is Jacob who becomes Israel, God's people. And God calls him a man of great faith. 24, 25, by faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, he kind of helped that process out a little bit by murdering one of Pharaoh's slaves. Man of great faith, murderer. Verse 29, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Act of great faith, right? Rescued by God out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, parted for them, and they crossed as on dry land. And then they just kept in that same mode of great faith all the way into the promised land. Right? We don't know how long it was. It only took them a couple of days. And they're like, man, this man is getting old. But give us some meat, God. And God's like, you want meat? I'll give you meat. Just rains down on like so much quail. Like, they're really vomiting it back up, right? God's sense of humor. And then what? What? You know, Moses goes up to the mountains 40 days. You're like, God isn't showing up. Where is he? He hasn't done anything for us. So they make a golden calf. And God puts them in the hall of faith and say, people of great faith. Verse 31, By faith, Rahab did not perish with those who were disobedient. This is when, so Joshua's leading them into the promised land, and they got to go through Jericho, the brick walls, and they send in spies, and they meet Rahab, and she ended up not being perished when they took over the city. By faith, Rahab did not perish. Oh, I left out some words. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish. Here's a non-Jewish prostitute being included in God's great hall of faith. Yeah. Yay. Verse 32, what shall I say? Time will fail me of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, prophets, all men whose character was sterling. No, Gideon, a mighty man of great faith used by God to deliver them from the evil Midianites. And what's he do first? God says, I'm going to use you, Gideon, oh mighty man of God. And he looks around like, what? Me? Yeah. I'm going to use you to deliver them. And what's Gideon do? Believe the promise and run out and conquer them? Oh, God, I'm going to put you to a little test. You see this little fleece? I'm going to put it out. If you make it rain on it and it's wet, then I'll believe you. And God does it. You go, I'm not sure that was really God. Let me flip it over. Okay, God, if you make it rain, then I'll probably believe you. This is it three times in a row. And this is his exact words. Oh, please, Lord, I know that I've asked you to confirm the promise two times already, but if you would just give me one more sign, then I'll believe. Anyone ever do that? Oh, God, just give me a sign. If you turn this light green, I know it's from you. Here, this is what I do all the time. Lord, please, just open up this Bible. And I'll point, and that'll be how you think about me. And it's like, go and hang yourself. I mean, it never works, right? We do this stuff all the time. Samson, right? Mr. Hey, babe, want to feel my muscles? Right? Weakness for pretty woman causes downfall, and yet his last act is an act of great faith. He pulls down the walls. You know, you just picture like Rambo standing there, or The Rock, or me, one of the other, and just pulls down another. Jephthah, right? Mighty man of great faith. God used him to deliver Israel from the mighty Ammonites. He's the son of a prostitute, and he makes this rash vow. Oh, God, if you give me victory over the Amorites, then when we march back into the city victorious, I will sacrifice to you the first thing that walks out of my door. So they give him great victory, and they march back in the city, and his daughter comes running out of his house. Man of great faith. He's in there as one of their examples of faith. King David. Oh, yeah. Murderer. Adulterer. King. Man after God's own heart. The reason we have King Jesus is because this is the covenant God made with David that some of his offspring will always sit on the throne forever. Murderer. Adulterer. Man of great faith. I just find all this so deeply encouraging because I am a man of deep doubt and deep fear and deep shame and deep worry. And I read these passages and I say, yes, it's not about my faith. It's about God's faithfulness. And then it goes on and it's even more encouraging because it says in verse 13, all of these died in faith, not having received the things promised, having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And verses 39 and 40, all these great men and women of faith, all these God commended for their faith did not receive what was promised. Think about that. What if we applied our metric of success to these great men and women? They'd be abject failures. They did not receive what was promised in the fullness sense. They received the taste of it. But we read elsewhere in this passage, what they really wanted was the kingdom of God. What they really wanted was a heavenly city where righteousness and justice and peace reigned. And they got a little taste of it. And so great faith evidently does not mean that you received the full promise or you can complete the task given, yet God still will commend us for the faith. Faith and hope does not always receive every object that one has faith for in this lifetime. And so much of the faith teaching out there presents the faith that it's a demand on the promises of God. And if just believed in strongly enough, if just prayed for long enough, if just claimed in the right way, will guarantee the promise received. And that's just not the faith that you see in Hebrews chapters 11. Many did receive a significant taste. Noah got the ark and saved humanity. Abraham became the father of great nations. Moses led the people out of Israel, but none of them received the full promise. And all their lives were filled with faithlessness and failure and struggle. So it seems that God is greatly pleased with people whose lives never straighten out and who fail miserably, and yet despite not receiving the full object of their faith, just keep trusting in Him, in God. You can do that, can't you? You can trust in the person of God. Faith is trust in the person of God. Our faith is not based on our faithfulness, but God's faithfulness and His character. And so how do you get more faith? You hang out with God. And faith is a crisis that will always lead to a point of decision. Faith always leads us to points of decision. Faith leads us to points of forks in the road when we have to choose between faith and trust or between doing it in our own way. And Grace Point is at that point. Are we going to have faith, or are we going to respond in fear and try to make this thing work? And what nags at our heart when we don't see God operating and responding in the way that we want Him to, in the way we think He should, is our heart begins to question God's competence. It questions His wisdom. We start to question His goodness. We start to question His power. And that's the crisis of faith. When we can't trace His hand, do we trust His plan? Can I trust God will really protect my kids? I mean, look, he didn't protect that kid. He didn't protect that. Can I really trust He's going to protect my kids, or do I live in fear and worry? Can I really trust that God's going to meet all my relational needs? I mean, I'm really wanting a spouse, and look, I'm getting older and older and older, not getting married. Can I really trust it, or am I going to be desperate trying to make it happen on my own? Can I really trust that God is with me in the current trial, or do I live in anxiety and pursue all these drastic measures that may be outside of God's plans? Can I really trust that God's going to direct my steps? I mean, He's not telling me anything. I've gone to His word and I just walk away. I still don't know anything more. I'm just as confused as I was when I went into it. Therefore, He's not doing what He's supposed to do, and He's not helping me. I better go get counsel. I better go consult a horoscope. I better go see a medium. I better seek out non-Christian spiritual practices. I better do something, because God's not. Can I really trust that God's going to provide for me? I mean, I don't have what other people have, and I'm working hard, and I'm ready to make ends meet, and now my taxes just went up by $1,500 every 3 months, and that really happened to us. And I'm like, well, what's going to happen? I'm living paycheck to paycheck, it is, and the corrupt government wants more of my money. Or am I going to trust in God's provision? Is Grace Point, as a congregation, in the face of dwindling resources and much less people, are we going to give up big dreams, or are we going to try really harder to make people come to our church, or are we going to trust that God has a plan for us that is better than we could ever dare imagine on our own? Present faith is always built on past experiences of God's faithfulness. And as a congregation, we can look back and say, God has been faithful for 125 plus years, and He has no intention of abandoning us now. Do you believe that? And again, what strengthens our faith the most is the pursuit of a relationship with God. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is not even in the promises of God, separated from the person of God. If you want more faith, spend more time with God. It's that simple. Faith is trust. Trust is built on relationship. Relationship is built on spending time with someone. Hang out with God. Don't do things for God. Hang out with him. Just enjoy him. Let your heart just be loved all over by God and love all over God in return. And that's where faith comes from. Spend time just saturated in the word and in silent prayer and contemplative prayer and scripture meditation and in worship. Just be with God and faith will flow into you and then flow out of you in fruitfulness. I close with an unshakable promise from 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. Let's pray. Father, we always need faith. It says in Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please you. We can't even please you without faith. And so, Lord, we can't please you without trust. And Lord, the world hates trust, and it hates dreams, and it wants to squash it and quench it and just put it out and kill it. And we need faith, and that's a gift from you. So Lord, we're coming to you this day with all the places where faith is a barely glowing ember and a barely smoldering wick, and we're asking you, Lord, you promised not to blow that out. Would you come and blow on my barely glowing ember back in the flame? And I ask you to spend a moment in prayer where you need faith, where there's a dream that has died, where there's a relationship that's in struggle, where there's a sin that seems unconquerable, where there's shame that seems overwhelming. Wherever you need faith, wherever you need the breath of God to blow on the smoldering wick of faith back in the flame, I invite you to invite the Holy Spirit into that place right now. Being a faithful father. Lord, we nip the grace point. Lord, you've brought us this crisis, this faith crisis of what do we do now? And you've worked mightily through this task force. And the recommendations are filled with all manner of spirit birth vision. We need faith. We need faith to claim it. We need faith to live into it. We need faith and discernment to know which is of you. So Lord, we pray for the session and then the congregation afterwards that as we wrestle with these things together as a local congregation, that you would reignite great faith and great vision and great excitement and great unity so that the next decade of Grace Point can experience the latter rain, even greater than previous rains. So we receive that. We receive it right now in faith. Amen. Any prayer request? All right. Let's rise and sing of God's great faithfulness.